Blog Talk Radio.
Con los terroristas.
Sportsaholics 24/7. It's been a little while, so it's good to have another show. We have Jordan on the show today. We got Brandon. We have Nick. I'm your host, John. Full show today. What's going on, guys?
Nothing much.
How's it going, John?
All right. Now, we have a lot to talk about today. It's a big day in sports. The college football playoff rankings, the final ones, will be released at 12:30 on ESPN, so make sure to tune into that. And basically on the show today, we're going to be breaking down, there are six teams that most people agree on that couldn't possibly make the playoff. We're going to be breaking down each of those teams and giving our picks for who we think will get in. We will also be discussing a little bit of some NFL stuff, but we're going to start off with the college football playoff. So the six teams that are in competition for the four spots: Alabama at 11-1, Oregon at 11-1, TCU at 11-1, Florida State at, well, sorry, this is without the championship game. So Alabama now 12-1, Oregon now 12-1, TCU now 11-1, Florida State now 13-0, Ohio State now 12-1, and Baylor now 11-1. So there's some competition between who's going to, you know, get in for the final spot. I think it's pretty safe to say that Alabama, Oregon, and Florida State are definitely got to get in. Jordan, do you agree with that?
I would think so. I think Florida State, being the number four team and only winning by 2 points yesterday, you know, in a normal situation, they'd be vulnerable to drop. But at 13-0, I see no possibility that they won't be in the top four.
Mm-hmm. Nick, how about you? Do you agree with that?
100%. There's no way. Listen, the team's undefeated. I know they had a cupcake schedule, and they're barely sliding past these games by the grace of God. But at the end of the day, they're undefeated. They shouldn't be ranked number one, but they're undefeated. They're not going to drop out of the top.
All right. So basically, what the deal is that TCU, Ohio State, and Baylor will be facing off for that fourth spot. Now, before we get to our predictions, let's just talk a little bit about each team. So, first of all, Ohio State at 12-1 right now just came off a 59-0 victory over Wisconsin, and Wisconsin was actually favored in the game. That was the Big Ten championship game. An impressive win, but they also lost to Virginia Tech, which was a pretty bad loss. They lost at home. Then you have Florida, Baylor. Nick, let's go to you to talk a little bit about this Baylor team.
Well, Baylor and TCU is a huge battle between the two. And I understand that Baylor beat TCU, but TCU has a better resume. They've had a better non-conference schedule, and the committee's argument is TCU's lost one game, and it lost to Baylor by 3 points, whereas Baylor lost to West Virginia by 2 touchdowns. And, you know, last night yesterday Baylor only won by a little bit. They beat Texas Tech 48-46. And the committee's going to say, well, I don't think it seems to be consistent considering they lost to West Virginia. They barely beat Texas Tech. Whereas TCU, they've been consistent. They've been winning, and they lost one game to one of the top-ranked teams by a field goal.
But what about that head-to-head matchup where Baylor beat TCU?
I know. I I see that point 100%, but the committee is not looking at it that way. And I'm not surprised that they're not looking at it that way, because like I said a million times, in college football, a win is not a win. That's not how they look at it.
Okay. All right. Now, I know Brandon wants to quickly break down Florida State. Brandon, give us a little information about the Seminole team.
It's not even that I want to break them down. It's just I don't understand why they're not number one. They're the national champions from last year. They have most of their returning starters from offense and defense coming back, especially the big one, Jameis Winston. They haven't lost in 29 straight games? Yeah, I think it's 29 straight games. And they have proven time and time again, whether it's against a team that is up at their level or a team that is well below that, that they are the best team in college football. They have not lost, and it just doesn't make any sense. I don't understand why they're not number one. They should be number one. They're not number one, and that's because I think that the college football playoff committee is trying to set up a matchup between them and Alabama in that first round. That's why they keep me. That's why they kept Florida State four last week. That's why I think they'll probably stay there again, because they just want that to happen, and it doesn't make any sense, and it's not very honorable of the college football playoff committee. And Florida State should be number one. No contest.
Stop it. Don't embarrass yourself. Florida State does not belong at number one. No chance. Are you seriously surprised that the committee is not looking at it this way?
I'm sorry, Nick. I can't really hear you.
Are you surprised that the committee is not looking at it that way?
I'm honestly not surprised, but they should be. The committee is just not a very, very smart committee.
Because, you have to understand, though, in college football, like I said, a win is not a win. That's not how it is in college football.
So then what is a win?
The committee is going to look at it. It's not the NFL. There's a big difference. You know, the argument is they've had a cupcake schedule. They're barely sliding past these games. They barely slid past Boston College. They barely slid past Georgia Tech. They barely beat NC State. They're saying, how consistent can this team really be? Now, I understand.
So then if a win isn't a win, then what is a win?
What?
If a win isn't a win, then what is a win?
You know what I'm saying. It's about how you win in college football. It's not about the record. It's not all about who has what wins. It's different in college football. That's not how the committee can look at anything, because they can't. Part of why TCU dropped out of the top four last 2 weeks ago was because they barely slipped past Kansas State. They're not being penalized for winning. It's because why are you only beating Kansas State by 4 points?
Kansas, not Kansas State.
What?
Kansas, yeah.
Sorry, Kansas.
All right, can I give my interpretation of this?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I think my opinion's a little bit different than other people. I'll say what I think it should be and what I think it will be. So going into yesterday, you had number 4 Florida State and number 5 Ohio State. Those are the two teams I'll be looking at right now. I think if you look at their opponents, Georgia Tech and Wisconsin, I would say going into yesterday, most people would agree that they're pretty even. I would actually even say that Wisconsin – was a little bit of a better team than Georgia Tech in terms of their resume going into Saturday's action. And what happened was Florida State defeated Georgia Tech by only 2, while Ohio State beat Wisconsin by 59. So normally, in a normal situation, what would happen, the number 5 team would jump over the number 4 team and leapfrog them, basically. But what I see is a big mistake by the committee was what they did, I think it was last week, Florida State should have never dropped below TCU. Because
thank you.
By being at number 4.
I agree 100%.
Okay. If there's a big difference, and something not a lot of people are noticing, between TCU at 3 and Florida State at 4, and Florida State at 3 number and TCU number 4. Because normally what would happen in that situation is Ohio State would jump Florida State, but you're not going to drop a 13-0 team, the defending national champions, the ACC champions, out of the top 4, that's not going to happen. And at TCU, it's completely unfair to them. At number 3, you win 55-3. I don't care who your opponent is. You're not going to drop from 3-5. That's ridiculous. So I think it'd be a lot different if it was TCU at 4 and Ohio State at 5, because honestly, I do believe that Ohio State in terms of their resume, is more deserving of being in the playoffs than TCU, but it's just not going to happen because TCU is at 3 and they're not going to drop to 5 after
really
winning 55-3.
Ohio State had an easy schedule too.
Well, actually, going back to your point earlier, Nick, if you're comparing TCU and Baylor, honestly, I would put Baylor ahead of TCU because right now they're both 11-1. They're both 11-1. They're both in the Big 12. They both have really similar schedules. And then what does it come down to? It comes down to head-to-head, and I don't care how much they won by, Baylor won that game.
But it really
But Baylor should
exactly.
be ahead of TCU.
Exactly.
Well,
I
agree with you, but that's not how it works, though.
But
not
no,
you're
listen,
telling me,
listen,
you're
Nick,
telling me two
Nick,
11-1
Nick.
Teams in the same conference. What's their tiebreaker? It's head-to-head.
You're right. Usually it is, but not always. That's not always how it works.
No, Nick, let me explain something. Let me explain something about this year's committee, and it's different than in past years with the BCS. This new committee, the College Football Playoff Committee, said that they will do the rankings on a week-by-week basis. And by that, we don't know what that means about, you know, head-to-head mashups, or we don't know what that means about strength of schedule. They're going to do it week by week. So I think that's why TCU is ahead, just because they look, you know, right now they look like a better team than Baylor. But I don't agree with that. I think head-to-head should matter more.
Yeah, I see your point 100%. But TCU, I mean, Baylor's done. TCU just blew out their opponent. Baylor beat Texas Tech by 2 points. There's no way
Nick, compare their opponents. Baylor put up 588 yards of offense against one of the best defenses in the country in Kansas State. I mean, if you look at the first half of TCU's game, they were only up 17-3 at halftime against a 2-9 Iowa State team. There's a big difference in their opponents.
I watched that game. TCU didn't struggle against Kansas State. And I see your point, but like John said, it's going to be on a week-by-week basis. This week, TCU completely just dominated. Baylor beat Texas Tech by 2 points.
Well, let's see what the committee really means by week by week. Because if I was on that committee and if I was doing this week by week, no doubt in my mind, I would put Ohio State over TCU after that 59-0 win last night. But the thing is, will a number 5 Ohio State team jump a number 3 TCU team and kick TCU out of the top 4? I don't know. I can't see that happening, honestly.
And John, you know what I think is a big problem right now with the committee and this week by week basis, what they're doing? I think a big problem is timing. Because I don't agree with the fact that timing should be incorporated into the equation when figuring out the standings week by week. I think if Ohio State was to beat Wisconsin 59-0 in week 3, it has the same value as beating them in the Big Ten championship. If they beat Penn State and it took double overtime to do it, and that was yesterday, I don't think we'd even be having this discussion. Ohio State wouldn't be in the top 4.
I agree.
Do you agree with that?
I agree with that,
but I think the fact that it was the Big Ten championship game, it was on a big stage. You knew that both teams were coming to play. They're going to go all out. And the fact that Ohio State was able to win a Big Ten championship game, 59-0, that's impressive. And so I think timing does have something to do with it.
Well, I agree, and I do think that's why I would put Ohio State there at number 4. I'd move Florida State up to number 3. That's what I think it should be. What I think it will be is I think it'll remain exactly the same. I think it'll be Alabama, Oregon, TCU, and Florida State, and that's due to a mistake by the committee of putting TCU ahead of Florida State last week.
Yeah, you got to get used to those mistakes, though. How often does those happen now? It should come as a shock.
Well, we're gonna see how often they happen.
The big mistake.
And, you know, quickly before we move on, I just want to let our listeners know that if you'd like to call in with your thoughts on this, the number to call in is 347-884-8496. Once again, 347-884-8496. If you want to call in about the college football playoffs and your predictions for who's going to get in, who's going to do what the seeding is going to be, just let us know. Now, before we move on to the final predictions, who's the best team in the country right now?
Alabama.
Oregon.
Alabama.
Two Alabamas, Oregon.
Alabama.
Yeah, I agree, Alabama.
They run like an NFL team.
I think it's
they are.
They're the most well-rounded team in college football. I think they would tear Florida State's guts out. They would tear Oregon's guts out. They would beat any team out of the SEC. They're winning the national championship this year. I'm calling it now.
I think Alabama is definitely the most well-rounded team. I think their defense is definitely the best in the country. And the way I watch their offense, the way they move on offense is incredible. I think Oregon, I see you can make a case for Oregon. I mean, they definitely have the best player in the country. I think there's no doubt in my mind Marcus Mariota is the Heisman winner and probably the number one pick in the draft, depending who gets it. But Alabama's a better team. They've had a tougher schedule in the SEC. They've proved that they're number one, and I agree with Nick. I think they will win it all this year.
And yeah, I agree with that because I think this year's Alabama team is different than past Alabama teams, even past Alabama teams under Nick Saban, because this year's team has a dynamic offense with a great quarterback in Blake Sims who can throw the ball well, who can run the ball. They have two great running backs in Henry and Yeldon. They have the best wide receiver in the country in Amari Cooper. And that's something that Alabama has not had in years past. And they still have that typical hard-nosed Alabama defense as well. So that makes them the best team in the country.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing is, I think the biggest red flag with Alabama this year, not to bring him down, but would have to be Blake Sims, because I've seen him struggle a little bit. I've seen him struggle against zone coverage against Alabama. He threw a few picks in the first half. This is receivers. That's the only red flag I have. Everything else about Alabama has been completely
consistent.
But we've also seen some bright spots, too.
Blake Sims is a bit risky, but I think it's exactly what Alabama needs. If you look at what they've had the past few years,
yeah, I agree.
You know, they've had game managers in A.J. McCarron and Greg McElroy. I think Blake Sims and a dynamic quarterback can really put them over the top, and he's shown that that's what it's done to this team this year.
I agree with you. I like Blake Sims. I'm just saying, out of everybody in Alabama, Blake Sims would have to be the biggest red flag. And that says something.
All right, Brandon, you think Oregon is the best team in the country. Let's hear why.
Well, it's not even that. I think you made a good point that Alabama is the most well-rounded team, but Oregon, at this point, just they cannot be stopped. I mean, the display that they put on Friday night was just unbelievable. What was the final score of the game? 38-0? Some ridiculous number like that? Do you know how consistently they've been doing that this season? I've always wanted to see an Oregon-Alabama national championship game, and we almost got that in 2011 with Oregon and Auburn, but Oregon and Alabama needs to happen, and it needs to happen now. Because we've been begging for a matchup like this. And if that happens, Oregon's going to win it because nobody can stop them, not even Nick Saban.
You know what I really like about Oregon? Look at their only loss this year. It was to Arizona, correct? Look who they just beat Friday night, Arizona. So they showed that throughout the season, they have greatly improved. And that's something that, I mean, that goes towards Brandon's point.
Beat them. They totally shut them down on every level of the
football. Oh, yeah. Wasn't even close.
They made a mockery of them.
I do think Arizona is probably the most overrated team in the country. For the majority of this season, I don't think they deserve to be in the top 10 or wherever they were for the past few weeks. I think they're very overrated. That win over Oregon, I mean, that's an impressive win, but that was really their biggest, you know, bright spot of the season.
And they also beat Arizona State, too.
They did beat Arizona State, but if you compare their, you know, the Pac-12, it's not the same as the SEC or the ACC, I don't think. You know, they put up a really great season, but I think they're very overrated.
All right.
Well, getting back to that point with the Pac-12, it should be very interesting to see what kind of trouble Mariota and that Oregon red offense can bring to Alabama, because I know Mariota is comfortable in the pocket, likes to find lanes, run up the middle, and in the past, running quarterbacks have given Alabama trouble. So it should be interesting to see how it happens. But the question is, because in the Pac-12, defense is non-existent. If they do play Alabama, that's going to be a huge test on Mariota, because that's Mariota's biggest red flag when it comes to like getting drafted in the NFL. Like, well, the Pac-12 doesn't play defense. So it should be interesting to see how he would do Alabama's defense. And if he could run the way he can against Alabama, he'll probably be, he'll win the Heisman, it'll be the best. It'll probably be the number one pick in the draft.
And that's a good point, because if I had to compare Oregon's offense to any teams that Alabama has played this season, I'd compare it to the two teams that Alabama's defense has struggled against the most, that being Ole Miss, who they lost to, and Auburn. A mix of both. They both run spread offenses. Auburn runs the ball more. Ole Miss throws the ball more. But those are similar type offenses to Oregon, and Alabama really struggles against that. So, you know, if that does end up being the championship game, that's going to be a classic.
Yeah, I still think that Alabama will come up on top, though, because they're more well-rounded.
All right, well, before we get to the moment that you all have been waiting for, we're going to be revealing our playoff predictions shortly. Once again, if anybody wants to call in, the number to call in is 347-884-8496. Once again, 347-884-8496. All right, now, after a long season, I wish it was longer, but it was a great college football regular season. It's come down to bowl season now. The playoffs will be released at 12:30 Eastern Time on ESPN. Brandon, let's hear from you first. Who will make the first annual college football playoff?
Alabama, Oregon, Florida State, TCU.
In that order? Is that those your seeds too?
In that order.
Okay. Jordan, let's hear from you.
All right, I think it'll be number one Alabama taking on number four Florida State in the Sugar Bowl, and then you'll have Oregon and TCU in the Rose Bowl.
All right, Nick?
I agree with Brandon's predictions. I think it'll be Alabama, Oregon, Florida State, and TCU. Because I don't think
there's no way they can make that mistake twice now.
Well, at this point, it doesn't matter.
I don't completely agree with it, but I think that's what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm. You know, if I would, I think the four best teams in the country right now are Alabama, Oregon, Florida State, and Ohio State. Unfortunately,
agreed.
That's not what we're going to see in the college football playoff, just due to, you know, TCU already being ranked number three in the country. So my prediction is Bama, the one seed. Oregon, the two seed. I think Florida State's going to jump TCU. They're going to be the three seed. And, you know, it's tough for me to say because I really want Ohio State to get in, but I think TCU will be the fourth seed. Alabama will play TCU in the Sugar Bowl first round, and it'll be Oregon versus Florida State in the Rose Bowl.
And, Sean, let me just ask you this quickly. Do you think any impact on I think we all agree it's going to be those four teams, but do you think there's any impact on location that'll go into the final top four? Because Florida State taking on Alabama would be a regional matchup in the Sugar Bowl down south, while Oregon, which has played in the Rose Bowl numerous times, going out west to take on TCU. Do you think that has anything to do with it?
Well, I mean, honestly,
it shouldn't.
I don't really think so, because Florida State and Alabama, you know, they're both from the South. Sugar Bowls played in New Orleans, so I think they would play in that game anyway. The one I'm really interested in is the Rose Bowl, because the Rose Bowl traditionally is Pac-12 versus the Big Ten. Oregon will be playing in the Rose Bowl against TCU. Now, Ohio State also has a chance of getting in. So if the Rose Bowl really wants to keep that traditional Pac-12 Big Ten matchup, they can take Ohio State if they wanted to. So that's something I'm interested in. I don't necessarily think that geography is going to matter, but I think, you know, traditional ties might, maybe.
Now if that point is valid, Ohio State would essentially have to jump both TCU and Florida State to move up to number three. Is that correct?
That is correct. And that's why I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it will happen. But I think more than geography, I feel like traditional bowl ties will affect this more.
I would just have to say, this is the most unpredictable playoff in terms of the four seed that I've ever seen, because no matter what happens, it's going to seem extremely obscure.
Someone's going to be unhappy.
The committee set them – it's the committee's fault because they set themselves up. How can you put Florida State number four? That was the stupidest decision they could have made.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do agree with that. I think bad. And
looking at it on a hypothetical standpoint, I do think Ohio State would beat TCU. The committee might not agree with that, but I truly believe that Ohio State beat TCU.
And in my opinion, for the first time this whole season, the committee is going to have to address that head-to-head matchup between TCU and Baylor. Because to me, that's blasphemous that Baylor beats TCU head-to-head, yet TCU is higher than them, and we all predict TCU to get in. I mean, I don't know what to think of that. I think we're going to learn a lot about the selection process after today, how it works, and what they really look for.
I agree that I think TCU on paper and in terms of their resume is a better team than Baylor, but I don't see how you could rank TCU ahead of Baylor coming in the same conference, very similar schedules, and Baylor beat TCU. I don't get that logic.
TCU
could be three spots ahead of Baylor.
I sort of agree with you, but here's the only thing. After this past week, even if Baylor was ahead of TCU, I think that Baylor would probably drop behind TCU considering the matchup and how Baylor barely won. And
they beat a top 10 team.
Dominated.
They beat the number 9 team in the country.
Baylor wouldn't beat Iowa State 55-3. They would dominate Iowa State.
Okay, and who did Baylor play? Texas Tech.
That was 2 weeks ago, and that was when Bryce Petty got hurt.
I mean,
they were
winning
that game before he got out.
You know, here's something that I'd love to see. Here's something I'd love to see from the Big 12, and I know when a few teams left the Big 12, they don't have 12 teams anymore. And when a few teams left, they took away the conference championship game. And a lot of people are pushing for them to add the conference championship game back because of situations like this. You know, TCU and Baylor are the two best teams in the conference. They've already played head-to-head. Baylor won, but they're still behind. So a conference championship game would solve that issue.
It doesn't make sense. It really doesn't.
It does not make sense at all, yeah. So we have about a minute and a half left in the show. We were going to talk a little bit about the NFL, but I don't think we're going to have any time. We'll probably have to have a show a little later on this week. Once again, the college football playoff, the first annual college football playoff rankings, will be released at 12:30 on ESPN, so make sure to tune in. All right, so we all released our final picks. Any of you guys have any changes that you'd like to make?
Well, I wish Baylor would get in because they deserve it more than GCU, but because the college football playoff committee is a bunch of idiots, then they're not going to make it.
Yeah, I think both
Ohio State and Baylor deserve it over TCU, but that won't happen, and I wouldn't go so far as calling them idiots. I mean, this is the first year we haven't even seen what they've come up with yet, so I'd hold back.
Yeah,
then
again, we've also had years and years of the BCS, so we can definitely say that there's something wrong with the way they select these teams. And it's been this way consistently since the BCS originally started.
Better than the BCS was. I take this over the BCS any day of the week.
Yeah, we'll find out how good it actually is. I mean, this is the first year. They're going to be looking to work out some issues, and we're going to find out a lot today. All right, that's going to do it for us today in Sportsaholics. Thank you all for listening again. Thank you guys for being on the show. We'll be back next time.